Well, Matthew chapter 28 then this morning, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. We're continuing our studies at the end of Matthew 28 and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the final words that we read in Matthew's gospel. Words setting up his followers to go forward for him. So Matthew chapter 28, let's read those final verses of the Gospel this morning. Matthew 28, verses 16 through to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through to 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" That is the word of the Lord for us this morning. So our subject this morning is baptism. It says there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Lord Jesus gave the command that they are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we ask a question as we start our study this morning. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What are you really like? Does everyone know who you are? Or are you keeping it a secret? Okay. We could be in a big group of people, and we don't want to stand out, so we don't make a big show. You keep yourself as a secret, as it were. And I want us to think about that in the context of us being Christians. Does everybody know that you are a Christian? Does everybody know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps you feel uncertain because your friends, they're not Christians and you don't want to stand out. Or your work colleagues, they are quite hostile to that which is to do with God and to do with the Lord Jesus, and you don't want to stand out. Well, the Lord Jesus is saying to us through this statement this morning that we're to be baptized. He says, you've got to come out and stand out. You've got to come out and stand out. Because that's what baptism is about, really. It's about taking a stand. It's about declaring to everybody that you're now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use a phrase, it's nailing your colours to the mast. This is who I am. And sometimes when you're travelling around on a Saturday in this country, you will see cars going up and down the motorway. And often you might see a banner at the back or a scarf flying out of the window. And people through that are doing what? They're indicating which football team they are going to support. They are naming their connection. They are showing who they are affiliated to. This is my team. They are displaying it on the roads. Well, that's what, in a sense, baptism is. We are making a declaration. We are saying, I am Jesus Christ. I belong to him. It's coming out of being quiet to make a great declaration. And this is why baptism can be often so significant in the lives of those who've been converted from other religious backgrounds, like Islam or Hinduism, or even atheistic backgrounds. Because families might say generally, well, okay, that's okay, we're not happy, but as long as you just keep it quiet and you don't tell others about it, then you can get on quietly and there's going to be no great problem. But when somebody says they're being baptized, wow, then things change, because they are coming out and making a public declaration that they belong to Jesus Christ. Baptism is going public. It's about telling everyone that you belong to Jesus. So, do you belong to Jesus this morning? Well, you should be baptized. You should be baptized. And we're going to think about some of the details of that. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized as a follower of Jesus? Well, I want us to be thoughtful this morning as we go through this passage about a big reminder of how significant your baptism is in your situation. Because the tendency you might be thinking now is, Philip's going to talk about baptism. I was baptized 10, 15 years ago. I'm just going to turn off. I don't want that to happen. I want us to be thoughtful about the implications of the baptism that you have engaged in those years ago. Okay then, we're going to have, we got 6 points this morning to think about as we consider the issue of baptism together. So everybody, children, everybody, we're going to get 6 points this morning, going to get them in our minds and learn about the importance of baptism and where it fits in as regards to our being followers of Jesus Christ. So the first point is this morning, who is to be baptized? Who is to be baptized? Is it just for any old person who just wants to join a religion? Or who is it for? Well, the passage that we're reading from this morning tells us who is to be baptized, doesn't it? Because it says, the Lord Jesus says to those disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It says, make disciples, baptizing who? Baptizing them. The ones who have become disciples of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so there's an order here. People become disciples of the Lord Jesus, and then they are baptized. It is disciples who are to be baptized. So you first must become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that takes us a very important point of this stage. Everybody, children, we just want a big, 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 crucial reminder. How do we become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? We become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by realizing our offensive sin before God, how we are messed up, rebellious, and we turn from God, and we're in a terrible state, hopeless and helpless. Just really bad situation, destined for hell. But we look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary. He took our sins there and he died at the cross, on the cross, to take away our sins. And we repent of our sin, all of its terribleness. And we just look to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And we become followers of him as we trust him as our Lord and Savior, the one who's done everything to cleanse us from our sins on the cross and now is risen from the dead, vibrantly alive forever. And then we're brought into this way of discipleship. We've become followers of Jesus, and that's the biggest thing that can happen in our lives. Question then, are you, youngest to the oldest, everybody who's hearing me this morning can be a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? This is the most important thing in life. You either are a disciple
or you're not a disciple. Okay? If you're not a disciple, you may be following one of a thousand different ways, but they're all the wrong way. Say that carefully on the basis of the Word of God, because Jesus says He's the way, the truth, and the life. You need the right way. It's in Jesus Christ. The one way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Okay. So, we first must become disciples, and then we are to be baptized. So answer the question, who's to be baptized? Disciples are to be baptized. Followers of Jesus Christ are to be baptized. That means, I say carefully to us this morning, it means, seems quite clear to me on the basis of this, that people really do have to believe. So it's not for babies. Okay? It's not for babies. Okay? I know many follow that practice, but it seems to me clear from the Bible that it's not for babies. Okay? In this church, this opportunity arises, we give thanks for babies given to and into the life of members of the congregation, and we can commit them to the Lord, and we're happy to do that. But we don't baptize babies. Okay? It is only those who've made a commitment to follow the Lord by repenting of their sin and trusting in Jesus. Okay? Baptism is on a personal confession of faith. Okay? I just want to read as we pick these things up about the apostle, about how the evangelist Philip encountered a man, an Ethiopian man. And we read about this is what happened to that Ethiopian man in Acts and chapter 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, that's the scripture in Isaiah 53, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Okay? So this man heard the word of the Lord, he received it, and then he went and declared his connection with the Lord Jesus by being baptized. That was a great story of the Ethiopian eunuch. The other thing I want to say is to you this morning, as regards to this issue about who is to be baptized, it is disciples who are to be baptized. I want to make it clear that just going through a religious ceremony, being baptized does not make you a Christian. Okay, you might be thinking, if only I get to baptism, and then I'll be a Christian. You might even think, then I'll be an extra Christian or something like that. No, you're a full Christian when you believe, but you are to be one who should go on to be baptized. So don't think that it's going to make you a Christian. Believing in Jesus, repenting of your sin makes you a Christian. So first point this morning, who is to be baptized? Answer, disciples. Second point this morning, why are we to be baptized? Why are we to be baptized? What do you think? Why should we be baptized? In this business of going down into some water and coming up again, why should we do it? Why should we do it? Perhaps you might think, I'll do it if it makes me popular. And perhaps everybody else is doing it and I should do it. And are those good reasons to do it? Okay. Perhaps somebody's told you to be baptized. Oh, they've told me, so I should do it. Why should you be baptized? Why should you be baptized? You should be baptized because Jesus expects disciples to be baptized. Okay? Jesus expects disciples to be baptized. He says, those who become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they should be baptized. There is an expectancy in the statement that is made in Matthew 28 and verse 19 that they are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. Those who have been made disciples, made followers, are to be baptized. So Jesus expects you to be baptized if you are a disciple of him. And who is Jesus?
Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Yeah. And we were singing in that hymn how we should be those who obey. Teach us full obedience. Well, if we're true followers of Jesus, he is the master. He's the one in charge. And he expects us to be baptized. Yeah. And that follows on even into the scriptures as the experience of the church and Peter at the first great gospel sermon. He told the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. So being baptized is an act of obedience. And Christians should be obedient. Yeah? If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord Jesus said. And if you're a follower of Jesus this morning and you claim to love him, then the call is to obey him. And what's specifically before us this morning is the issue of being baptized. Making that public declaration that you are a follower of Jesus. So, it's not because I say something this morning. It's not, perhaps I got the other elders up here. Perhaps I got Mark and Zach up here and we all had a united front and said, you lot, you've got to be baptized. It's because Jesus says so. Jesus says, you should be baptized. So we thought about who should be baptized. Those who are disciples. Okay. Can I just mention that? Just linking back into that first point. I think you really have to think this through. I will give my personal experience. I think it was around about May 1963. A ceremony took place in Sittington Church, a rural village in Cheshire. Whereby I went through a christening experience. Yeah. My parents took me to the village church. But I was only converted to God in May in 1986. And I was baptized on June the 29th, 1986. Because that was my baptism. That was when I confessed faith and made my open declaration myself in obedience to Jesus Christ, which was my second point this morning. Why to be baptized? Because Jesus says so. In baptism, then, the third point is another who. Who are we connecting with in baptism? Who are we connecting with? We're making connections in our baptism. We are making connections. And we are making connections most profoundly with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're being baptized into the name. We're going into that which indicates who God is. We are connecting into the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One name, three persons. This is the great truth about our God being a God who is Trinity. One God, three persons, each totally God in their being. This statement is one of those which indicates about who our God is. We are being baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You're basically declaring, I'm connected to God now. God is everything to me. Now we make connections in different ways in life, don't we? Sometimes we go along to we go to a school and that becomes our school and we are connected into that school and somebody asks you which school you go to. You say, that's my school. Or we join a company. You go and work for Tesco's, for example, and you say, well, who do you work for? I joined Tesco's. Tesco's is my company. I've gone into that company and I'm an employee of that company. And we remind ourselves on Remembrance Sunday that many of our fellow country people in the UK join the army. They go into the army. They become army people and other parts of the services of this country as well, the armed forces of this country. Okay, so we can join things, but here is the greatest joining. You've joined into God. It's an amazing thing.
By being a Christian, you've joined into God. You're now connected with the God who is the living God. This is the only God that there is. It makes it pretty clear that all the other gods cannot be the same as this God, because no God is like this God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Other gods are either multitudinous in their number, like Hinduism, or just the solitary God of Islam. But our God is the great three-in-one God, who is Father, kind, loving, gracious, eternal Lord, Son, the one who came into this world and is the great one to bring us to God, Spirit, the one who is moving now to achieve all the purposes of God and bring people to Jesus Christ and bring honor to the Lord Jesus. And we're connected to that God, and we're making glorious declaration of it when we're baptized. I am connected with God. So who are you? Who are you this morning? Who am I? And we call ourselves Christians, and that's fine. But there's almost a better term that we could use, isn't there? Who are you? I am a Trinitarian God person. Well, that's a bit long-winded, but it actually is more expressive, because that's who we've been brought to be. Yeah, I am a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit person. That's who we are. Wow. That's what we become. That's what we are brought into. And that's what we declare, that we're connected to this God. And this God will keep us, and this God will look after us. And it frees us in life. Watching a video briefly yesterday of Gavin Peacock, the former Chelsea and Newcastle footballer who was converted to Jesus Christ. Around about 10 years ago, I think he was converted. Not fully sure of the day. But he was telling how everything changed then. Previously, he just lived for football. And football was everything. A bad game and it was totally down. A good game and it was totally up. His identity, his everything was to do with football. But then he became a Christian. He could fully enjoy football then as a gift from God, because he wasn't dependent upon football. And a problem for a lot of people is they're dependent upon this, that, and the other. Dependent upon their image. Yeah, I'm just dependent. I've got to have the right image. And if my right image is right on Facebook or on Instagram, and everybody's liking me, everybody's approving me, fine. If not, everything's down and we're all caught up in the things that we wrongly identify with. But if you're a Christian this morning, your identity is in God, in the one who has the name the one God, and his name, the one who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So think about that in your voyage of life. What is it who you are? You are a God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit person. But there's a big implication here. Firstly, you're connected to God. But in being connected with God, there's also something else that happens here. You're also connected with all the other people who do exactly the same. All the other people who connect themselves with Father, to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Throughout this world at this present time, regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of mental capacity, regardless of social status, regardless of sex, regardless of absolutely everything, you are united with them. Now remember that, fellow Christians. Sometimes when we meet other Christians, perhaps from different backgrounds or different church situations, we're often rushing to see where we disagree. I say, don't do that. Rush to see where we agree, because they've got the same name upon them. Okay? My name's not that common. Venables. So it's often interesting for me to meet other people or find out other people who've got the Venables name. And there's a connection. Well, Christians this morning, you have got the greatest name connection overall. The name of Father, of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So bind in with people. Yes, we may disagree with people in certain issues who are followers of Jesus, and we have to accept that and understand that. But let's bind ourselves to this great universal entity, which is around this world. And of course, many of them have gone on to glory as well. We are part of this great universal church of those who own Jesus as Lord. And in our baptism, we're declaring that. I'm connected. When I baptize myself, I'm declaring I'm connected with every true believer in the world. It's great to have lots of believers from different countries here, isn't it? And to enjoy that oneness. Because that oneness isn't just something where we say, we're out on our own, and I know there's some believers out in Papua New Guinea, and that's great, and there's a few out in New Zealand, and a few in Chile, and that's great. No, that means we also express that in a local church. That's what God expects. We come together in a local church. God binds us together from all our different backgrounds, and you don't come to me. We don't join together. We say, oh, I like the look of you. You can come. I don't like the look of you. You go away. We come because we honor Jesus Christ together. Confessors of Jesus Christ. We love him. Felton Evangelical Church is a lover of Jesus Christ place, honoring the name of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which just reminds us, doesn't it? And children, everybody, just have this in mind. It's very important that the normal process, the normal way that we should have in life is that we become followers of Jesus Christ, and then we are baptized, and then we commit ourselves to a local church, and then we go on to live and love the Lord and serve in a church together, a church like Feltham Evangelical Church. That's God's way. And you children, get that into your mind at an early age, that's what you've got to work out. Followers of Jesus, baptized, joining a church, and going on to love the Lord and serve him in a church. My fourth point this morning, so we thought about who's to be baptized, Christians, and why they're to be baptized, Jesus says so. The second point, who you're connected with, you're connected to this God and you're connected to all other Christians. Fourth point is, how are you to be baptized? And two things here, I would say. The first point is, the word baptism means to dip. Means to immerse, means to go under, means to actually go into some water and then go down under the water and then come up out of it. It's for dipping cloth. That's how it was used at the time. You put your cloth in the liquid and then you bring it out. So you get the cloth dyed with a different colour. And it's immersion. And when you see baptism in the Bible, we read in Acts chapter 8 about the Ethiopian eunuch, he went down into water. And the practice was to go down into water and up again. And some of you may not know, but there is a baptistry right down here, which from time to time we've been able to fill up and have the joy and privilege of being baptized, of baptizing people. And some of you here, one or two of you here, have even been baptized in that pool just beneath here. So how are we to be baptized? By being immersed in water. Going down and coming up again. That can happen anywhere. It can happen in a river. It can happen in the sea. Swimming pool. And happen in a church building. My fifth point then. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, fundamentally it means that you're making a confession of a new life. I want to read here from Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6, you can turn to it if you want to. I'm going to start to read in Romans in chapter 6, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. Romans in chapter 6, we're going to read the first 8 verses this morning. Romans 6, verses 1 to 8, and hear these words. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, our old man, was crucified with Christ, with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Okay? So when we are baptized, we're basically declaring that we're finished with the old life. Okay? And we're rising up to a new life. At the cross, Jesus Christ came and dealt with sins. And when we go into the baptism and go under, we're confessing that Jesus Christ has dealt with my sins. He's dealt with my old life. He's dealt with all of my ways before I was a Christian. And now I'm raised up to a new life. I am, as you come up out of the water, you're raised up with Christ to live a new life. It's everything connected to Jesus Christ, this new life. You finish with the old life because you're confessing at the cross he took my old life and he finished with it. And now I'm going on to live a new life. Can I just mention something, an intricacy here, but I think it can be helpful for us to think about. When you were converted, fellow Christians this morning, when you were converted, the old man finished. Totally ended. We are new creatures in Christ now. We are new men. That's right. Totally finished. That old person who was driven by sin, driven by selfishness, driven by all kinds of things which were against God, finished. The old self came to an end at the cross. Sadly, we still have the old nature. Sadly, we still have the old nature. Okay? We still have in our lives that which is a part of us, which drives us away from God. And we have to wrestle with that. And one of the ways of wrestling with that is just declaring to God, to Satan, I am a new creature. I don't have to go in the way of sin anymore. I am alive with Jesus Christ. So on June the 29th, 1986, the evening that Argentina beat West Germany in the World Cup final, I was being baptized. One of the most significant events of my life. And on that evening, I declared that I was now risen with Christ. I was set to live a new life. I was set on glorifying God. Now put your date in there. If you're a Christian this morning, put your date in there. And I'm going to challenge us this morning. I'm going to say, I think it's good, fellow Christians, to be always looking back to our baptism and reminding ourselves what we did. That we actually declared that we are finished with living for ourselves and we're now living for God. So go back to when you were baptized. And what does it mean? Baptism means that you're finished with the old life and you're living a new life. A life for God. That's big implications for how we live. So we need to remember our baptism. So that's our fifth point this morning. What does it mean? What does it mean? Okay. That was my final point. I know I said 6 points. I've shortchanged you this morning and I've given you 5. And that's what we've thought about this morning. So, who's to be baptized? Everybody, who's to be baptized? Disciples are to be baptized, aren't they? Second point, why are we to be baptized? Because Jesus Christ says so. Third point, who are we connected with? We're connected with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We go into the name, one name of this great eternal God, and we're joined up with all other Christians as well. How are we to be baptized? By immersion in water. What does it mean? It means we're declaring new life, new life, new life, finished with the old life, living for the new life. So, conclusion then, this morning. Firstly then, reiterating what I said, always remember your baptism. Always remember what you declared. Okay? It's like going back to the contract. You know, some people, they've signed up for a work and there's a contract and that tells them the basis of which they are to operate in their work now. Well, your baptism says the basis on which you're to operate in life now.
Finish with yourself, living for Christ. Can I make a second point for those of you who are hesitating this morning? You won't be able to be baptized in heaven. You won't be able to be baptized in heaven. Your opportunity to have the joy of pleasing the Lord now is now, in baptism, in this specific respect. Thirdly, when you are baptized, expect a blessing. Sometimes we Christians, because we say, I've said it already this morning, you don't become a Christian when you're baptized. We expect as if nothing's going to happen. But it's an obedience. It's a precious obedience. You are signifying so much. So expect a blessing. Expect that God would particularly meet with you. Fourth point, though, expect difficulties. Satan does not like it when people come out and declare themselves as Christians. It's interesting with when the Lord Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3. What happens in Matthew chapter 4? Satan comes. Onslaught. Often after your baptism you have a very difficult time because Satan does not like it. Finally, remember this morning that Jesus Christ was baptized. He went through the waters of baptism. He, as it were, for the first one of a great new people, went up, rising to declare he was going to live for God totally and wholly when he started his ministry. Making that declaration which every other Christian follows on into. Jesus was baptized. I always remember a dear man who was converted, I think in his 40s, his 50s, Mr. Andy Orthodoxou, from a Greek Orthodox background. And he hesitated for so long about being baptized. And then somebody reminded him, well, Jesus has been baptized. Why don't you be baptized? And that was the thing that clinched it for him. Jesus, my master, was baptized. I will go on and follow him into baptism. So that's the issue of baptism this morning. And it's a great subject for us to think upon, a great subject for us to be pondering upon how it works out in our lives. If you're not a Christian, then you need to become a Christian and then go on to be baptized. If you are a Christian and you are not baptized, you need to be baptized. And if you want to pursue that, then please come and see one of the elders of the church. There's some booklets in the entrance hall as well, which are helpful as regards to considering these issues. A booklet called Believe and Be Baptized. Finally, if you've been a Christian many years and baptized many years, we need to always be reminding ourselves of what baptism means and how it should affect our lives.